Good morning. This is KBBI Homer AM 890, and you're tuned to The Coffee Table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and this morning it's the Local Arts Summit, and let's see who is on the line. So is that Scott Bartlett from Homer Council on the Arts? Are you there?
It is. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you, and Asia Freeman from Bunnell Arts Center. Good morning.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, good morning. What about Kyle Schneider from Homer High School and the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District?
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. Okay, we're 3 for 5. Let's keep going. What about Aaron Hollowell from Kachemak Bay Writers Conference and Story Knife? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
Oh, this is going beautifully now. And Jennifer Norton from Pier 1 Theater. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Woohoo! Everybody's on. No echoes. And thanks for being guests on Coffee Table this morning. First of all, I'm going to go through and talk to everybody, but always remember that when you have something you want to add, just jump right in. It's a little more difficult these days when we can't see each other. But the first thing I want to talk about is if you could just briefly describe the ways that your organizations have changed in the last year and the ways that you're doing things. So the first person I want to start with is Scott Bartlett from Homer Council on the Arts. Scott, what are the differences these days? You're working in a completely different way, I expect.
Well, it's the only way that I've worked here during the pandemic. but we have the gallery open for several months now, but we do have a COVID mitigation plan in place. So we have limited occupancy for the past few months, we've had workshops taking place at limited capacity. That includes art a la carte and adult workshops. And those are social distance and limited capacity. Of course, the major thing that we're not doing right now is any performances. And there's no buffet tables or large gallery openings. Our first Fridays have been pretty low-key affairs.
Oh, right. So are your first Fridays are virtual?
We've been having first Friday openings, but not really a reception. So the gallery is open with the new exhibit, but we're not having large gatherings. We're not promoting gathering in that way.
Oh, right. And I'll be back to you to talk about the wellness exhibit that's going on right now. But next, I want to move on to Asia Freeman from Bunnell Arts Center, because I know that Bunnell and KBBI have done some collaborating for live music over the last year. And boy, are we grateful for the collaboration and all the work that we've gotten to do together. But I am interested in hearing about what it's been like at Bunnell for the last year.
Yeah, and hi, it's so great to gather with you all in KBBI. Bunnell is open. We have been open with COVID-safe protocols since May of last year. Starting with Thore Munro's exhibit, we pioneered taking exhibits online and in person. So while staff are working remotely and taking turns hosting Bunnell in person, all programs are online. Exhibits, most everything in the retail store is available online, as well as weekly artist talks, workshops, and we've amazingly been able to do some performances as well with these live concerts on KBBI. Artists in residence continue. We began the year with local Afrofuturist painter and comic book artist David Brame in January. And we continue with visiting artists and residents who are comfortable working with COVID-safe measures.
Thanks. Go ahead.
We've made some adaptations, too. I think one of the interesting ones is staff member Bree Lee devised this beautiful system of taking plate projects kits to go. So effectively, people can create, painted plates for our annual membership drive at home, that we provide these kits and glazes, and they can work then at home in the safety of their bubble. We invite folks also to come in and paint plates at Bunnell safely with masks. It's quiet, it's inspiring to be in the presence of real art and a new environment of a big art terrarium, as it were, and all those amazing objects and energy there at Bunnell. So we encourage people to come on down with their masks. And you can call first if you want to just be more comfortable knowing how many people are there. Supplies are provided for plate painting, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 5, and on Monday by appointment for people who need extra accommodation for health and safety.
Thanks. That's Asia Freeman from Bunnell Arts Center. Jennifer Norton from Pier One Theater. I suppose this is the moment when I reveal that I am on the board of directors at Pier One Theater. And so I thank you for being here. Jennifer is the executive director for Pier One Theater. And KBBI and Pier One we've opened up a whole new world for KBBI. We've been wanting to get radio theater underway for a long time, and this is the year that it happened. But can you talk a little bit, Jennifer Norton, about the things that Pier One is, the plans they're making for COVID practices and some of the things you've been up to besides radio theater?
Yeah, absolutely. Radio theater has been really fun for us, something that we had been wanting to do and finally got the opportunity to do. So closing our doors for the summer theater season allowed us to explore some things that we wouldn't otherwise have had time to do. So we took our second Sunday Shakespeare readings onto Zoom. We've been meeting the second Sunday of every month with our new Shakespeare branch and reading through the plays of Shakespeare. We've done a drama slam, which resulted in 9 new plays for the Alaska World Arts Festival. We did some acting workshops, which we did a little bit on Zoom, and then we took outside and in person. And we ended up with a little holiday video compilation that we pulled together from different performers around town. So we have kind of a multi-tiered approach, and just trying to get people together and working on things.
Well, also don't you have packets available at the library, take home packets for kids, or is that coming up? Is that on the
They are not at the library.
Oh.
But last summer we put together a number of activity packets for youth theater participants or any youth person who would like to have one. Those are little paper puppet kits, mask making kits, Shakespeare kits, things that just get kids engaged with theater in a different way.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, Kyle Schneider, I'm saving you for last. Just be ready, because next up is Aaron Hollowell. Aaron, I know that there isn't a lot for you to talk about in terms of what you've been doing. Well, I guess over the last year, we went through the first virtual Kachemak Bay Writers Conference, but how are the changes in plans for you in the upcoming Writers Conference?
Well, actually, last year we were on hiatus, planned hiatus, while we recreated the conference. We weren't counting on virtual, but now we are. And so this year is the first year virtual conference, and we're hoping to take the good parts of that and duplicate them when we move forward. So it's going to be very interesting. And we have 6 great faculty, and I'll talk more about that later.
Sure, and I suppose that it means that you can include a lot of people that you couldn't before.
It sure does. The registrants are from around the world at this point.
Oh, right, yeah. And what about Story Knife? Will there be residencies? First of all, can you briefly explain to people, if they haven't heard of it, what Story Knife is?
Story Knife is a writer's retreat founded by Dana Stabenow for women writers. It's 6 cabins in a main house, and women come for 2 to 4 weeks to concentrate on their craft. We have a chef who feeds them, and they spend this time how they decide to spend it. And so we were closed last year, which was supposed to be our inaugural year. But we're going to start this year in June with lots of COVID measures in place.
Okay, terrific. And it is now to you, Kyle Schneider from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, choir master extraordinaire. Can you talk a little bit about the music program? Because I am quite sure the singers and the musicians have taken a hit this year in terms of what they can do, especially when they gather together.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for pointing that out, Kathleen. Yes, this whole year has been quite the roller coaster when it comes to COVID-safe protocols. We've been functioning under the protocols established by the professional organizations in the United States, National Association for Music Education, and the American Choral Directors Association for safe and effective rehearsals in the course of the school day. As you can imagine, that's been very interesting, especially when we went 100% remote during the second quarter, and then we've been hybrid for the majority of the year in varying shapes and forms. So the numbers in the high school program, of course, have dropped substantially considering the desire of students to gather and sing in a quote-unquote normal fashion, pre-COVID fashion. But with that being said, we have been running rehearsals as we are in person. We are all masked. We are all safely distanced. In the nicer weather, we've been running rehearsals outside. As the winter came on, we moved inside, spaced ourselves out, either in the Mariner Theater or in the choir or band rooms. And that's been our process through the whole time. We are, however, continuing to work on the brass tacks of learning music. We are doing a lot more music theory and a lot more music appreciation, music history focused, especially during that second quarter when we weren't able to be together. The other thing that has happened is that through the course of the global pandemic, composers have been reaching out to music directors in this country and of course around the world and offering a piece of music. So what we found is that a number of composers have reached out to all of these organizations and said, okay, here, please take this music, work on it with your students. And sometimes those pieces are full-fledged, you know, 4-8-part or in the band world, full band pieces of here's a piece of music, please use it throughout the course of the pandemic. Other times they're simple rounds just to get students comfortable with singing with each other in a mask, in a space, in a manner to which they've become now accustomed after a year. So it's been a challenge, but it's been a very interesting challenge, and it's allowed us time to work on the basics and the rudiments of music education.
And are these just regular, the masks that we all recognize, or are these the special masks that I've heard about?
We have been working with both sets of masks. Of course, students are in the building. If you're in the building, you're wearing a mask, period, end of story. And so some masks, when we're in choir class, we're using our standard mask. When we're in band class, they're utilizing standard masks. They're also utilizing specialized masks, particularly for the flute players. They're working with a separate one, so there's an insert for the head joint of the flute, which is what you blow across to create sound. But they're also running with masks that there's a small slit cut out. So for the brass players and the woodwind players, they can play that way. For the vocalists, we are starting to utilize the singer's masks that were provided in a donation to the program. And we will be utilizing those as we go forward if there are any performances.
Thanks. That's Kyle Schneider from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I want to put my attention now on Scott Bartlett, because I am going to ask you about what's going on at HCOA right now, but you also are a member of the Kenai Peninsula Orchestra. Has the orchestra been able to make any progress at all in terms of the season or plans?
Well, you probably know that we canceled last summer's gala performance, and we normally have three or four performances a year, which are duplicated in both Kenai and Homer. And so the last year has been really awash on live performances in that sense. We did collaborate with Homer Nutcracker Productions in the virtual Nutcracker this past winter, which was a great new adventure for our musicians. We are actually planning for this summer not to do a large gala in the same format, but we're looking at outdoor venues in both Kenai, Soldotna, and Homer, where we can have maybe not the full orchestra, reduced ensemble or chamber ensembles that can do some outdoor performance. So we're working on that program. And I'll say, if anyone is interested in participating in orchestral music and you're not a part of KPO, you can get in touch with us and we'd love to have you.
Thanks. And right now at Homer Council on the Arts, you have a show dedicated to the struggles that people have been going through over the last year. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on at Homer Council on the Arts right now and what you're planning on? Let's focus on what your plans are for the summer.
Sure. Well, right now we're showing The Art of Wellness, which is a community call on stories of trauma, loss, and resilience. And it was suggested to us as an exhibit because it's been such a trying year. You know, it's the anniversary of COVID. There's been, we're confronting systemic injustice and trauma and loss in all of our lives in different ways. So using art to reflect on that, I think, is an important tool that we have as artists, and an important tool for anyone, whether they think they feel like they're an artist or not. You know, it's an important way to express. So we were able to actually host a workshop with Carly Shaw from South Peninsula Behavioral Health in February as a preliminary to this exhibit. And we have a selection of work here in the gallery that reflects on resilience and wellness. And it's in all media. There's visual art and video and spoken word and music. So it's a lovely exhibit that I invite you all to come down and enjoy, and maybe think about how you can express, you know, how you can use art to just work through anything anyone's working through.
And are there
it's
any
a difficult time right now?
Are there any call for artists right now so that people in the community who have been, you know, who are ready to express or have been working, you know, at home on stuff, are there any call for artists right now or call for submissions that are open?
Yeah, definitely. We actually have a themed exhibit coming up in May, which is Maritime Art of Kachemak Bay and Bristol Bays. And that's a fundraiser supporting the Sailing Back to the Bay project, which is going to take one of the last sailing Bristol Bay double-enders from Homer to Bristol Bay. We also have an open call for gallery exhibits for 2022. And also we have an opening in July this summer, if anyone's interested in that, coming up quick. And we're asking for those submissions to be in by April 1st. And those application information is on our website. The Jubilee show is coming up in April. We're always excited about that, to see youth art here in the gallery.
I want to ask a question, if you don't mind, about the maritime art. Is it all media, photographs, paintings, knotwork, like whatever?
I'd love to see some knotwork, some Marlin Spike seamanship. Yes, any media. We've been really, in all of our recent calls, we've been really broadening to invite any media. We have the ability to, you know, show back video and music performance. So we really want to broaden the media for anyone that's interested.
Ooh, shanties. Yeah. There's all kinds of things. So I cut you off. So but before I move on to Bunnell Arts Center, I want to make sure that if there's anything else that you want to talk about right now, to let people know what else is going on at Homer Council on the Arts.
Well, another call that we have coming up is our Youth Arts Scholarships. So for any education program in any media for youth scholarships, those applications are due April 23rd this year, and we'll announce those by the by May. We'll actually announce them on April 30th. So those applications are available on our website as well.
Okay, thanks so much, Scott. And jump in as we're focusing on other people, but now I'm gonna move to Asia Freeman from Bunnell Arts Center. Asia, what is going on now and over the next few months at Bunnell, both for things for people to attend, but also participatory, so that people can submit work or you tell me, because I'm looking at Bunnell Arts Center's website, bunnellarts.org, right now, and I am very excited about Emily Schubert, Artist in Residence. But can you talk a bit about all the things that are going to be going on in the next few months?
Absolutely, and thank you. Bunnell's mission is to strengthen the social, physical, and economic fiber of Alaska through the arts. We're focused on building resilience, exploring adaptation, and bolstering artists in these strange times. And we found a lot of support and need for this work. I mentioned that last year we sparked new ways of connecting between artists and community by hosting conversations on Zoom and Facebook Live, from First Friday Artist Talks, which are all online, to Inspiration and Adaptation, a video-type podcast that explores what artists are doing to express resilience and innovation, healing around planetary and economic stress, pandemic, and pervasive social inequities. So these conversations are continuing second and fourth Fridays from 11 to noon with support from Alaska Community Foundation. The conversations have really showed us that artists need and want to remain engaged through workshops, dialogues, performances, etc. And as you mentioned, Kathleen, you can find out more about that at benelarts.org. So last year, when we expanded on online connectivity through Zoom, we took the opportunity to dive deeply into land acknowledgement workshops, learning about our Indigenous roots, our ties and place names, and taking that learning to action through signage and sculpture. That continues to be our goal. Many people don't know, for example, that Homer is situated within Dene Ina lands, the jurisdiction of the Nilchik Village tribe. You might have noticed hand-printed signs at Bishop's Beach Park gazebo expressing gratitude for the long-term stewardship of these lands since time immemorial by the Indigenous people of Ketchumek Bay, or Kajikmak, its original name in Sukstun, the language of the Sukbiak people across the water. Did you know that the first name for the Bishop's Beach is Tuget, like to get groceries or to get coal? So we're very excited this year to work with the City of Homer, which accepted our application to gift Homer with a sculpture commemorating Indigenous culture, specifically Dene Ina wayfinding techniques. The sculpture is called Tuyanitun, and it's designed by Argent Kavasnikov of Ninilchik Village Tribe. He was born in Homer, a visionary artist and a local leader in resilience and innovation through art, and we hope to put that in place this year. And there'll be lots of conversations and opportunities to learn more about that as the year unfolds.
Well, thanks. Is there something else you want to add, Asia?
Well, I would love to talk a tiny bit more about two things: Artists in the Schools and Residencies. Artists in the Schools continues. This is normally Benel presents about a dozen workshops with trained teaching artists for youth throughout the entire Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, with support from OLMRS, Alaska USA, and the Alaska State Council on the Arts, as well as the Kenai Fine Arts Guild. This year, we've scaled back considerably, and of course, it began last year, but already we have presented Charlene Klein for two units at Fireweed Academy, and Potter Lisa Fransman has had two units up in the Soldotna area. It's impressive to see what can be done. I mentioned that we've got that plate project to go. It's an incredibly important showcase of Benel's mission, supported by local potters and painters, which we've done since 1994. And these plates are available when folks donate $125 or more to support our mission. But we're really excited to engage people with workshops as well. In April, we have another artist in residence, Emily Schubert, who's currently driving here all the way from Baltimore. She's presenting a show of her work and conducting workshops on crankies. These are the visual kind of storytelling and mobile theater technique, which involves creating handmade paper scrolls and a cardboard box. So it's like a visual storytelling technique. And her workshops will explore the history of crankies, and people will be able to assemble their own cranky or scrolling story box and to develop a story based on personal experiences, a folk tale, a song, or a poem, different visual illustrations, the techniques of drawing and painting and collage and shadow puppetry. And the workshops will be online and in person with COVID safe protocols at Benel. You can find out more about that at benelarts.org. So that's a lot of stuff, but that's what we've been up to. That's what we're looking forward to doing.
Thanks. That's
Benel.
That's Asia Freeman from Benel Arts Center.